Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos Lamed Zayin. We find ourselves on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We're at the two dots, about a third of the way down on the Amud. Gemara is going to go back to the Mishnah and discuss some of the points of the Mishnah. We are in the beginning of the fourth parak of Yevamos, and our first discussion in the Mishnah is slightly reckless behavior done by the Yavam. Yavam does chalitza, and he does it prematurely. And it turns out that his Yavama was in fact pregnant, and quite possibly from the late husband. Now, in the event that they have a child, so we all know the halacha, and that is now that it's eshesach b'makom banim, which means that there's no mitzvah of yibum, and that's it. In other words, she now is an erevah to you, and so that is really reckless behavior because now you are married to an eshesach. If, on the other hand, the child is not successfully delivered, that's a miscarriage, so then there's a mitzvah of yibum. But what you did is that you married her too quickly. In other words, what you should have done is ascertain whether or not she, in fact, was pregnant from the late husband, and therefore you should have waited, but you didn't. So we discussed in the beginning of the perek in yesterday's daf, and 2 days ago, whether or not, if you did Yibam or you did Chalitza at this premature stage, so does it have any validity whatsoever? Machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And as we learned in yesterday's Daf Lamed Vav, so in this regard, we pass like Reish Lakish, that if you do Yibam or Chalitza to this woman while she was pregnant, so it has no validity to it whatsoever. That's the stock of Reish Lakish, and that's the Gemara says that's the halacha. Normally we don't pass like Reish Lakish, but three exceptions in Shas in which we do, and yesterday the Gemara went over the three times that we pass like Reish Lakish, and that's where we ended the daf yesterday. We're now at the two dots over here, but before we continue in the Gemara, let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's remind ourselves what we learned in the Mishnah. So, Hakonis is Yevim Tov Nimseis Mubaras V'Yalda. So the Mishnah says, instead of doing Chalitza, let's say you marry her, okay, and you're doing the mitzvah of Yibum, right? Well, it's not clear. Again, she's pregnant. And again, the question of whether or not you did the mitzvah of Yibum is going to be directly contingent on the success of that pregnancy and the child coming out, the child coming out as a viable child. So, Akonis is Yivim Tovim Tzitz Mubar is the Yalda. And so let's say she, in fact, does give birth. So, Bizman Shavlat Shokayama Yotzi. So, now, the child is a Ben Kayama. It's a viable child. So you have to now, you have to divorce her. The chayavim bekarbon, and on top of that, also we're going to assume that the man did this b'shogeg, so he's got to bring a carbon chatas. Ve'im ein vlad shel kayama. Then Mishnah goes on to say, now what if the child was not viable? So yikayem. So now the marriage, you could sustain the marriage, meaning you engage in reckless behavior. You shouldn't have done yibum at this premature stage. In other words, she was pregnant, and again, whether or not it's yibum is going to be directly contingent on whether it's a successful pregnancy. So what she did is reckless. But if she miscarried, so then according to our Mishnah Yikayim, marriage could sustain. Okay?
And then, waited 3 months.
In the Mishnah, it's not clear how long you waited. Meaning, and by virtue of the fact that, right, the language of the Mishnah, Nim says
Mu'beres. Which means that it's more like you waited 3 months and then afterwards
Okay, we'll talk a little bit more. In other words, women show at 3 months. Okay. Anyway, so Ein Avlad Shel Kayama V'chulei Tana Gemara quotes a brisa. This brisa, as Rashi points out over here, is going to be at odds with our Mishnah. So Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Amar Yotzi Beget. So Rabbi Eliezer says Yotzi Beget, and as Rashi points out over here, the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is going to be based on a kanas. Look at Rashi. Tana Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Palagasei V'Demas Nisan V'Kay Ein Avlad Shel Kayama Yikayem. On the line of the mission that says that if the child was not viable, so then the marriage can sustain because now you're doing the mitzvah of Yibum. V'kamar ihu. And what Rabbi Eliezer is saying to that is, no, afa pishe, navlat shakayama kansin alei. The yotzi begem, mishum denichlas l'safik yisr eishasach. You engage in really reckless behavior. Because again, in the absence of a mitzvah of Yibum, she is an erva to you. And now you are possibly being with your eishasach. You're being with one of the yisuri karis of the Torah. So because of that engagement in reckless behavior, so therefore the Chachamim said, look, turns out that there was a mitzvah of Yibum. Turns out that there was a miscarriage. And it turns out now that she is your Yavama. Okay, all well and good, but you engage in reckless behavior. So Rabbi Eliezer says a kenas imposed on the man that he has to divorce her. So Rava says, okay, let's string two shitas together. So we just learned the shita Rabbi Eliezer, which is that basically you engage in reckless behavior, the chachamim are constant you. But again, that's too general the way I presented it. It's not that general, meaning specific to this particular case. The chachamim made a kanas. And now what Rava would like to suggest is that this could align with the shita Rabbi Meir. Which shita Rabbi Meir? We're going to see momentarily. Rabbi Eliezer, Hadamar, and Rabbi Eliezer, we just learned together. Rabbi Meir, Detanya, we learned the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Lo Yisa Adam Uber as Chavera, Menekas Chavera. A person is not allowed to marry a woman who is a single woman, however, she just had a baby. So let's say that she was married and the marriage terminated, either way, death or divorce. How we got here is not consequential. The fact of the matter is that right now she's currently either pregnant or she's nursing a baby. So, and she's available. So, lo yisa adam uberes chavera menekes chavera. So, a person should not marry her at this stage of her life. In other words, wait till the pregnancy's over, wait till she's nursing. Now, if there's pregnancy, there's probably going to be nursing following that as well. So, in other words, you're going to have to just simply wait longer. Now, v'im nasa, yotzi v'lo yachzer olam es divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, let's say you did marry her. You shouldn't have. But let's say you did. So, according to Rabbi Meir, so now the chachamim are going to step in and separate the two of you, force you to give her a get, and that's it, and you can't marry her again. Meaning Rabbi Meir is ready to impose a kenas for acting recklessly. And the chachamim say no. In other words, they'll separate you, but only while she is pregnant/nursing, and then when that's over, then you can go ahead and you can marry her again. So, no, this is a kenas. We're talking about a kenas over here. It's a kenas. Now, why the chachamim not want to marry? Why do the chachamim not want to marry this woman at this juncture? So it's really simple, because if she's nursing, so this man over here is not going to have as much compassion for the baby. It's not his baby, and so what he may end up doing is he may end up impregnating her, and she'll no longer be able to nurse the baby, and he just simply will not be as compassionate towards that baby. So for the purpose of protection of the baby. So the Chachamim said, look, right now, do not marry her. Now, what if you did? So we just learned together, Machlokas Tanayim. Rabbi Meir says, well, if you did, so the Chachamim said, okay, Knas, a penalty in which we're going to force you to divorce her, and that's it. You cannot, at any future point in time, resume the relationship. And the Chachamim say, no, it's, no. In other words, temporarily, we're going to separate the two of you. Now, separation over here means what? With a get? Okay, not perfectly clear within the sheet of the Chachamim, but still. But you can go ahead and you can go back. So Amalei Abai Mimai Dom Alohi. Now what Abai says is that no. Meaning what Rava's trying to do is put together the sheet of Rabbi Meir with the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Now there is a common thread between the two sheetas, and that is reckless behavior and what the Chachamim do to that person who engaged in reckless behavior, but the cases are not the same as the Gemara now is about to point out. So in the first case of the Yavam Yavama, so it may be that there's no mitzvah Yibum. And you're now going to have relations with her? That's an Issa Daraisa. Now we're unsure at this point in time, but that's a Suffolk Issa Daraisa. So over there, the Chachamim said, you're engaging in that kind of reckless behavior? Done. We're going to separate the two of you. Aval Hasam Derabanan. But it could very well be that what Rabbi Eliezer will tell you that over here, marrying a pregnant woman, marrying a nursing woman, that's an Issa Derabanan. Again, a legislation made by the Chachamim in order to protect the baby. But that's a Din Derabanan. Okay, you're acting recklessly, but you're acting recklessly on a Din Derabanan. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer may not agree with Rabbi Meir. And we can also argue in the other direction as well. Rabbi Meir is ready to impose a kenas on the man who marries a pregnant woman. Yeah, in other words, even though that's an issur derabanan, but the chachamim are there to enforce an issur derabanan. Meaning, don't be casual with an issur derabanan. Oh, you think to yourself, it's just an issur derabanan. It's not an issur deraisa. So the rabbis reinforce the legislation. However, over here we're talking about Issa Daraisa. Okay, so maybe some people are ready to play with fire, but most people are not ready to play with fire, and there's no reason for the Chachamim to impose a kenas in such a situation. So Rava now is of the position that these two positions do not necessarily align with one another. Amar Rava l'divrei Chachamim yotzei beget. Rava says l'divrei Chachamim yotzei beget. Now, divrei Chachamim, Rashi, the Amar l'chashi yagiz man alichnos yichnos mio achi yagiz man yotzei beget. Within the clarification now of the sheet of the Chachamim, I mentioned moments earlier that according to the Chachamim, we know that separation is necessary, temporary separation when you marry a pregnant woman, nursing woman. So it's unclear within the words of the Chachamim whether or not that separation also requires a get. So Rava gives now clarification. According to the Chachamim, when the rabbis step in and separate the two of you, it means you're going to divorce her. So Amar Marzucha Dekanami Diktani Yotzi Velo Kitani Yafrish. In fact, if you read the words of the Chachamim carefully, they say Yotzi. Yotzi means an exit. Exit over here means with a get. So Shmamina. Amale Rav Ashila Rav Osha Brida Rav Idi Hasam Tanan. Okay. Let's learn together a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. Anyway. Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel Amar Kosha Shaba Adam Lama Yom Eino Nefo. Okay. We have been talking numerous times about having a viable child. Now, what does that mean, a viable child? Okay, so what's the definition? So the definition actually is really simple. And that means to have a child that at least has the potential of living a full life. Now, for the mitzvah of Yibam, so that's it. That's all you need. Meaning to say that if Rachmanis, the child dies at any point in his life, the mitzvah of Yibam does not come back. Meaning once there is a child, so that's it. That creates a patur from the mitzvah of Yibam. Okay. So, but still, how do I know the child is viable? Meaning if, let's say, there is a miscarriage of the gestating fetus, so then obviously that was not viable. If the child undergoes a quote-unquote birth after 9 months of gestation, so that's viable. The Gemara over here introduces us to the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says, no, even a full term, and even a birth after full term, that is insufficient. What you have to see in order to establish viability is that the baby lives for a month. If the baby does not live for a month, so we're unsure as to whether or not that was or was not a viable child. So, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, I'm going to read it again. Kol shesha ba'adam lama yamein nefel. So once the baby lives for more than 30 days, eino nefel. We now know for sure that this child had viability. So halo shal sveika hava. Okay, so that means to say that Rachmanis, if the baby dies within the first month, so we are at the point now where we do not know whether this child was viable or not viable. Otherwise known in halacha as a safek. Okay, itmar. Ve'itmar. Meis besoch lamed yom v'amdav niskasha. Okay, so now, let's put this together with the following scenario. So let's say she is a widow not having a child yet with her late husband. And let's say, upon the death of her late husband, turns out that he impregnated her. Let's say she had a child. Let's say the child did not live for 30 days. Okay, that's already a lot. Now, is there a mitzvah of Yibam? The answer, according to, if you ask Rav Shimon Gamliel, so he will shrug his shoulders and he will say, maybe, maybe not. It's a suffix. Okay, now what do we do with that? Okay, that's so. Now, at this point in time, meaning if she would ask the question, "What do I do?" I think we all know the answer, right? I think we do. In other words, what should happen at that point in time? So she'll get a chalitza from her brother, and because we don't know if there's a mitzvah of yibum, it's a question now of safek. Okay, so chalitza will be able to resolve because in the event that there was a mitzvah of yibum, and let's go over the two possibilities. Number one, the baby was not a viable baby, and so therefore she is a widow, and her late husband was childless. So now there's a mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, so you have to address that. So Chalitza will address that. Let's say the baby was viable, meaning again it died within 30 days. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we don't know whether that child was viable or not. If we're going to argue that the child was viable, so then there is no mitzvah of Yibam. If there's no mitzvah of Yibam, so then fine. So you did Chalitza to her, but the Chalitza was just simply a ceremony. That's all it was. Okay, fine. However, it gets complicated with the following. She accepted Kedushin from another man. Now, she should not have done that, Okay, again, for a third time this morning, we can call that reckless behavior. But whatever, regardless. She accepted kedushin from another man. So, Ravina Mishmid Rava Amar Imeshes Yisrael Hu Choletzes V'Imeshes Kohen Hi Eino Choletzes. So, Ravina says, in the name of Rava, let's say she is Eshes Yisrael. Her husband now that she accepted kedushin from is Yisrael, meaning a non-Kohen. So, what she should do at that point in time is go back to her brother-in-law, and she should accept chalitza from her brother-in-law, because the chalitza will not affect her current relationship. Okay, and it will resolve the suffix. Imeshes Kohen he, but she, if she's now currently the wife of the Kohen, the one that she accepted kedushin from was a Kohen, so eno choletzes. She does not accept chalitza, because the chalitza now would prohibit her to her current husband. So the chalitza would be bad. Mm-hmm. Now, you think about it, and you realize, wait one second, she shouldn't receive chalitza? It's very possible that the baby was not a viable baby, and under those circumstances, there is a zika. If there's a zika, she is not allowed to marry another man. Her marriage to another man is what's called Yavam L'shuk. Yavam L'shuk is a lav in the Torah. It's not an erva, but still, it's a lav in the Torah. And this relationship now is going to be built on a possible violation of a lav. I know that sounds strange. Hold that thought. Rav Misharsha Mishmei de Rava Amar Achazu V'Achazu Choletzes. And Rav Misharsha says in the name of Rava, both of these Amarim are quoting Rava. So he says, Zuvazu Choletzes. Chalitza is done regardless of who she accepted Kedushin from. She accepted Kedushin from either a Yisrael or a Kohen. Still, again, there's this outstanding question of whether or not there is a mitzvah of Yibum. And so she's going to have to receive Chalitza. Her current husband now is a Kohen. It's unfortunate. But in other words, you have to resolve the Yibum question. Now, Amar Le Ravina Le Rav Misharsha. So Ravina says to Rav Misharsha, Be'or to Amar Rava Hachi. Uvet Safra Hadarbe. So they say to Rav Misharsha, look, you did quote Rava correctly. But what you didn't do is you didn't go to Shir both in the night and in the day. Meaning the previous night, Rava said exactly what you said. Achazu v'achazu choletzes. But then the next morning, when he resumed Shir, so he said, I take it back. I see the difference between Eish Yisrael and Eish Yisrael. Now, I'm a Sharisa Ye Rava de Tishtaru Aftarba. So he says, really, you're being matir? So it may be God's will that you be matir chelef. Now, that is... That's a barb. He wasn't saying that as any kind of pleasantry. In other words, chaylev is usser in the Torah. Chaylev is an isser kares. If you eat some of the fats of an animal, right? The harder fats of an animal that is surrounding various organs. The Gemara in third perek and chulin goes through exactly what's chaylev and what's not chaylev. Regardless, it's usser. So anyone who permits chaylev is basically ignoring the Torah. And he's saying to him, I think you're doing the same thing over here. Meaning, how could it possibly be that we are talking now about a case of a Suffolk Yavama, and she's going to marry another man, and it's okay. What's okay about that? It can't possibly be.
If she marries a Kohen, wouldn't all the children be Kohen no matter what she does?
If there is no mitzvah of Yibum, so then everything's good. There's a Suffolk. Good. Well, hold that thought. We still have more to discuss. So, hache gabi mu beres chaver menekes chaver nasula kohen mai. Okay, so let's set ourselves up. So now we are discussing a case of a suffik yavama, now who accepts kedushin from another man. But again, the suffik is a predicate of she was pregnated by her late husband. She did have a baby. The baby did not live 30 days. And we don't know whether it was or was not viable. And again, whether it was or was not viable will impact directly the question of whether she's a Yavama or she's not a Yavama. Okay. And she accepted Kedushin from another man. And what's the halacha? So, Chalitza, unless she's married to a Kohen. Now again, a question of what Rava said exactly in terms of when she was married to a Kohen. And it's not a question, meaning Rava changed his mind. Originally, Rava said that she has to accept Chalitza in both cases, which, again, as Ben's pointing out, makes a lot of sense. But then, the next morning, he said a chiddush. And the next morning, he said, nah, you don't have to accept, if she's married to a Kohen, she doesn't have to accept chalitza from her brother-in-law. What? That sounds strange. Okay, so again, hold that thought. So, Hacha gabe muberes chaver menekes chaver nesula kohen mai. So muberes chavero menekes chavero. So we have been discussing earlier this morning somebody marrying a pregnant woman, a nursing woman. Now you shouldn't. Period. The chachamim, in terms of protecting the baby, the newborn baby, legislate that you shouldn't marry her. You did. Okay, so what's the halacha? So we learned it earlier this morning. The halacha is that the chachamim are going to step in and separate the two of you. Now, when we say separate the two of you, that means with a get. Now, again, the Shita Rav Meir, which we also saw earlier this morning, which is that Rav Meir says, and you can never remarry her. Okay, as a kenas. Okay, but the chachamim say you can. You can remarry her. Okay, now, how about this? Let's complicate this case a little bit more. Let's say the man who married her is a Kohen. So, me aver rabbanan takantala Kohen, so now let's say the man who married her was a Kohen. So now divorcing her will effectively mean you can't remarry her. Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha, even his own Grusha. So, amrle hachi ashta. So now take these two cases side by side. Meaning, in the case of the Kohen, were we protective of the Kohen? In the case of the Yavam, in the case of the Safek Yavama, we were protective of the Kohen. Meaning Rava's position was, the Kohen does not have to give her a get. Sorry, let me say that correctly. I said that wrong. In the case of the Safek Yavama, her brother-in-law does not need to give her chalitza in order to protect her marriage with the Kohen. Okay. Here in this case, where the Kohen marries nursing a pregnant woman, so are the Chachamim also ready to make some sort of protection for the Kohen? Okay. So the Gemara says, Hachi Ashta. The cases are not comparable. Bishlam Asim Kevendika Rabbanan Depliga Lad Rav Shimon Gamalel Darmi Afagav Delo Shah Vlad Ma'alya Have Gabe Eshes Kohen Kevin Delo Asher Avdin and Karabanan. So the Gemara says, let's go to the first to the case of the Safek Yavama. The Safek Yavama. Now again, why is she a Safek? Because she did have a baby, but the baby did not survive 30 days. Okay. There, and this is why I asked you to wait, because now we're going to be given a little more information. There, in that case over there, there is wiggle room. Why is there wiggle room? Because the baby that does not live for 30 days is a Safek Nafal, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The Chachamim argue with him. The Chachamim are of the position that even if the baby did not live for 30 days, the baby is still considered a viable baby. So we have a machlokus on that issue. And so therefore, according to the sheet of the Chachamim, so there was a baby, there's no mitzvah of Yibum, she's not a Yavama. Oh. So over there, even though ideally we would like to pass on like Rishim and Gamliel, but then when there are counter considerations, i.e. she accepted Kedushin from a Kohen, and now her receiving Chalitza would permanently impair her from her current husband, so there, where there's a counter consideration, we can be makel because there's another shita. But over here, avahacha, but regarding the Kohen who married a nursing woman, so what are my options over here? We can either go like the Chachamim, or we can go like Rav Meir. Okay, either way, the halacha is, he has to divorce her. Avahacha kamanavi, dika Rav Meir ha'amar yosi v'lo yachzor olamis. Okay, so either option A is going like Rav Meir. Oh, you know what Rav Meir said, he has to divorce her and he can never remarry her again. And according to the Chachamim, yes, he has to separate from her, but as we establish, separate means he has to divorce her. So there is no wiggle room over here because the legislation is that he must divorce her, either according to Rav Meir permanently or according to the Chachamim for the foreseeable future until she stops nursing. But he must divorce her. So there is a big difference between the two cases. In the case of the Yavama, there is room to maneuver because there are other shitas. In the case of the marrying of the nursing woman, there simply is not another shita. Okay. I kind of takes us through a slightly complicated discussion in the Gemara regarding cases of a Kohen marrying a woman illicitly, and then a question of whether or not there can be considerations in order to preserve the marriage. There are two cases under the discussion, and the Gemara just simply pointed out the two cases are not comparable. Itmar. Kisha Pesach Shlosha Ubarach. So, he is Mekadesh, a woman, Besoch Shlosha, within 3 months. Right? The Amana Grusha, doesn't matter. In other words, a widow, a divorcee. Now, is he allowed to marry her within 3 months? The answer is no. As we have learned time and again, when a man marries a woman after she just finished a relationship, there must be a three-month waiting period. Why? In order to establish paternity. Okay, so he is mekadesh or besoch shlosha. Now, mekadesh means the first stage of marriage. Okay, but they're not with one another. And on top of that, Baruch, he runs away. Okay, running away over here, right. The imagery over here is not like, that's it, he's never coming. It just simply means that he's not going any further at this point in time. So, pliki bar Rav Acha v'Rav Am Charamar Mishamtin Alei v'Charamar Irukim Mistayeh. So, does he need to be put in Cherem? Because, again, he acted impetuously, he acted recklessly. He was Mekadesh a woman, he shouldn't have been Mekadesh. So, according to one position, so put him in Cherem. And according to the other position, no. The fact of the matter is that he stopped the process, he quote-unquote ran away, that's enough. Hava uvda v'amala rafram irkui mistayen, and there was actually an incident like this, and he didn't go on to the next stage of nisuin, and Rafram said that's enough. In other words, you don't have to put him in a cherem. Okay. Safek ben tisha. Okay, let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah then illustrates the following example. Once again, a widow. She lost her first husband, childless. At least we think so. Then the Yavam does the mitzvah of Yibum, and he does it prematurely. But over here, let's be specific, because the Mishnah ends it off with, let's say he did it 2 months after the passing of his brother. Okay, and then they have a child 7 months later. This is a classic setup of the case of Suffolk. Now, this baby over here, who's the father? So, there are really two options. In other words, it could have been a 9 month pregnancy, taking us back to the late husband, or it could have been a 7 month pregnancy, taking her to her current husband. So, we don't know. So, we have to look at it now from the perspective of the child, from the perspective of the current marriage, from the perspective of Yerusha, there are a lot of angles in terms of how to attack this scenario. First thing we're going to do this morning is look at it from the perspective of the child. This child, who does not know who his father is this child a kosher father? Is this child a kosher child? Yes. And the answer is unequivocally yes. Yes. The Gemara goes on to describe. Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman Le Mahalach Acha Rav Nashim. Sorry, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. So the first, the Gemara opens up the discussion with the following question. So first of all, why are we giving each possibility equal weight? Meaning it could be a 7 month gestation, it could be a 9 month gestation. So the Gemara says, you know, we have what's called Rov. And Rov also is not just a question of, well, there are 10 stores, 9 of them are kosher, 1 of them is not kosher. Rov also means statistically. This is what's called in Halacha Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Statistics. Statistics also is going to be a determinant in halacha. So over here, what is the statistics going to tell me? Most women have what, a 9 month gestation or a 7 month gestation? Okay, good. So most women have a 9 month gestation. So the Gemara says, okay, so why am I treating this question as if each option is balanced and equal? This is a 50-50? It's not 50-50. Now I'll make up a number because I don't know. I don't have to make up a number. The statistics significantly favor the 9 month gestation, so that's Rov. So why are we calling it Suffolk? So I'm Alei Nishedi Dan L'Sheva Yaladan. So he says, well, you know, our women have a 7 month gestation. The Gemara says, I'm really happy that you're describing your women. I'm Alei Nishedi Tchu Averuba Dama. He says, you know, when you do statistics, you base it on a population. So great. So you have a sample, small sample size, and not only small sample size, but skew towards the people you know. Okay, that's wonderful. That's not how statistics work. It's based on a population. Amalei hachi kamina. Rov nashim. So he says, okay, good. You're right. I need to clarify my point. So, amalei hachi kamina. Rov nashim yaladam tisha umi l'shiva. So, I'm with you that most women have 9 month gestation. Some women have a 7 month gestation. And if that were the only issue, so then of course you're right. We would opt with the 9 month gestation. However, with a 9 month gestation, and normally, so recognition of the fact that she's pregnant already starting in the third month or a third of the way through the gestation. So now obviously we didn't know she was pregnant. We didn't know. And so because we didn't, she wasn't showing at that point in time. So yes, it's true. Women have a 9-month gestation period, and most women do. But also over here, it's a little bit strange that she wasn't showing. So Ekal Yolos the Tisha Ubra Nikola Shlisha Meh Hamadala Hukala Shlisha Meh Ubra Vadebar Shiva Libasrahu. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Are you saying that it's a rule that every time a woman has a 9-month gestation, she should be showing in the 3rd month? If this woman, in other words, and that's a flat rule. If in fact that's true, so wait 1 second. Over here, she wasn't showing in the 3rd month. Oh. So now we can go in the other direction. Now we could say that it was a 7-month gestation belonging to the 2nd man. So Ella Ema, so the Gemara says, okay, let's rework this. The Gemara is obviously workshopping this, trying to understand why this is a case of suffix. So the Gemara says, fine. So we're going to workshop it a little bit more. Okay, we're not saying it as a flat rule that every woman having a 9-month gestation period is for sure going to show in her 3rd month. We're saying that that's most likely the case. Oh. Okay, so now we understand the balance. What's the balance over here? Yes, it's true. Most women are having a 9-month gestation. But it's also true that most women having a 9-month gestation are also showing in the 3rd month. Over here, she wasn't showing in her 3rd month. And he married her. Now again, he married her too early. He married her before the 3rd month was over. Okay. So he married her in the 3rd month. So he married her. So now we have competing arguments. One argument is, this baby that came out 9 months after the death of her first husband, the argument over there is that most women have a 9-month gestation. The counter argument now that would say that it belongs to her 2nd husband is that, wait 1 second, most women who have a 9-month gestation show in the 3rd month. She wasn't showing. So that now gives equal weight to the other argument, which is it's a 7-month gestation belonging to her 2nd husband. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. Now, I was previewing this Gemara just a little bit too early. So we just established why it's a case of suffix. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss, okay, what's the status of this kid? He does not know who his father is. It belongs to one of 2 brothers, either the late brother or the current brother. So, Tana Rabbanan Rishon Rai Leos Kohen Gadol. So as far as this first child is concerned, he can become a Kohen Gadol. I'll just put in the caveat, which I know we all know, and that is, of course, is that the brothers are Kohanim. Okay. I could say about myself a lot of things, but one of them I could say definitively is that I'm not going to become a Kohen Gadol. Okay. It's not going to happen. So that much I could say. Now, why should it be? Because again, this is really straightforward. I know it's a complicated discussion this morning, but it's really straightforward. Because again, consider your 2 possibilities. If it's a 9-month gestation going back to the first, to the late husband, good. In other words, so this is this child is a product of a legitimate marriage. Now, let's say this child was in fact the product of a 7-month gestation with her, with the 2nd brother, the one who did Yibum. Okay. What does that mean? It means that there was a mitzvah of Yibum. Meaning if it's the brother's child, so that means that the 1st brother died childless, which means that there was a mitzvah of Yibum. And so therefore this child is a product of a union of Yibum, a legitimate mitzvah of Yibum. So either way, the child is legitimate, and not just legitimate, by the way. The Gemara says no blemishes whatsoever. However, Visheni, let's say they decide, you know what? Let's have another one. So in the event that they decide to have another one, so that's Mamzer Misafik. Okay, so that next one now is going to be a Mamzer. Not definitively, possibly a Mamzer. Okay, and again, you think it through, of course. Meaning right now, this woman to him, his Yavama? Maybe, maybe not. Meaning it could very well be that that child was the product of the 1st husband. Which means that she is Ashes Ach B'Makom Banim. That's an Erva. The other possibility that it was his child. But those are 2 real possibilities. Balanced at 50-50. So now if he goes and produces another child with this woman, so now we're looking at a Suffolk Erva the child now is a suffek mamzer. Now, this part is going to be a little bit complicated. Yeah, I know a lot of complicated points in today's daf. However, let's follow carefully. So, according to the Tanakhama, mamzer mi suffek. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar ein mamzer mi suffek. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying? So, my ka'amar. Gemara's next question. Amar Rabbi Achi Kamar Rishon Raliyos Kohen Gadol. So the first one can become a Kohen Gadol, as we already explained. Visheni Suffolk Mamzer Vasubrem Mamzeres. Ah. The Tanakham is telling us the following. That as far as Sheni is concerned, as far as the second one, so Suffolk Mamzer. Suffolk Mamzer, the worst of everything. Why? Because a Suffolk Mamzer cannot marry a bona fide Jew. Okay. Because again, a Jew can't marry a Mamzer. And over here, this child is a Suffolk Mamzer. But worse than that, this Suffolk Mamzer can't marry a Mamzer. Right. Right, because he may have a valid yichus. So now, limbo. Okay, fine. we're gonna come back to that. So the Vasub Mamzeris. Rabbi Eliezer Omeno Suffolk Mamzer Lavada Mamzer Mutzubem Mamzeris. Now Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is gonna tell you no. Meaning, not arguing with the fact that it's a Suffolk Mamzer, meaning that's indisputable. But in other words, what's the status of a Suffolk Mamzer? The status of a Suffolk Mamzer is a Mamzer. Okay. Now, Rava Amar, now what Rava is going to do is basically give the same interpretation, but flip it. You'll see what I mean. Hachi kamar rishon habrai lekohen gadol v'sheni mamzer vadai mi Suffolk umutaber mamzeres. So according to the Tanakhama, so it's Suffolk, it's a Suffolk Mamzer, but a Suffolk Mamzer, which means Vade Mamzer. Meaning again, in the Chachamim's view, so there is no, it's binary. It's all or nothing. Meaning the fact that you're Suffolk Mamzer already puts you in the category of Mamzer. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar ein Vade Mamzer mi Suffolk, ela Suffolk Mamzer v'asur ben Mamzeres. So you see what Rava did? Rava basically gave the two interpretations, but flipped it. Meaning the idea that Suffolk Mamzer is a Mamzer, instead of assigning that to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he assigned that to the Chachamim. And the alternate approach of, no, a Suffolk Mamzer is just that. It's Suffolk Mamzer, which means that he can't marry Yisrael and he can't marry a Mamzer. So he assigned that to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, so Abai and Rava are saying the same pshat. They're just inverting who said which position. V'kamlifik b'derabbi el-azar, d'nan. Now, this is going to be a question within the Shita Rebbe Elazar. Again, this part's a little bit confusing because this is Rebbe Elazar, not to be confused with Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now, Rebbe Elazar Omer Vadam Bevadam Mutter. So, Avada Bevada is Mutter. Vada Besfekan is Fekan Bevadan is Fekan Besfekan Aser. However, a Suffolk can't marry a Suffolk. Suffolk can't marry a Vada, a Suffolk can't marry a Suffolk. So, what do we mean when we say Suffolk? Beilu and Svekan, Shesukan Vasufi Vikusi. A Suffolk are going to be either a Shesuki Asufi Vikusi, Shesuki and Asufi, so that are there are just simply children that were collected. Either they don't know who their father is, or they were taken off the street. Kusi is a Suffolk. What does that mean? Rashi over here goes through, right? This Rashi, we could spend a lot of time on, but we're not going to. The Rashi over here says that when it comes to the Kusim, so they are not believers in Kesef Kedushin, they are not believers in even Shtar. So the only way that you can affect Kedushin is only through Bia. According to the Kusim, they don't believe in the Torah Shabbat Peh. And so therefore, when a man's Mekadosh a woman b'Kesef, they shrug their shoulders, it's nothing. And then they go on to marry other women. Or she goes on to marry another man. Okay, anyway. Right now, suffice to say, these are all examples of Suffolk. V'amrav yuramrav, and by the way, Rabbi Lazar is of the position that a Suffolk can't marry anybody. Can't marry a Vadai, because he's a Suffolk. Can't even marry another Suffolk, because again, we don't know the status of either one of them. V'amar Rav Yudam Rav Alacha, ki Rebbe Al-Azar. Now, Rav Yudam Rav says that's the Alacha. So, ki Amri Zekam Adishmol Amrli, Hilo Shana Asar Yuchzen Alu Mibavo. So, that was said over to Shmuel, and Shmuel reacted. Strong reaction. He said, I don't understand. Ten categories, right? Asar yuchzen alu mibavol. Now that should sound familiar. That's the opening mishnah of the fourth parak of Kedushin. Now they are kohen levi v'Yisrael chalal legeri charuim mamzer nesine shesuk v'asufe. Okay, so those are the 10 categories. Now, v'kulam mutar lavo zebezeh, and they can marry one another. Now, over here, this is again a point that I could really stretch out. I'm not going to stretch it out. I'm going to shrink it. But basically, these 10 categories are put into really three different classes. Okay, and you go through the Rashi over here, and you'll learn the three classes together: Kohanim, Levi Yisrael, Levi Yisrael, Chalalei, Gerei, Charurei. Okay, I'm just not going to go through it right now. Anyway, the point is the following, is that over here, in our three classes, meaning in our three groupings, so one of the groupings is a Suffolk with a Suffolk, meaning a Suffolk is allowed to marry a Suffolk. The Mishnah in Kiddushin, that opening Mishnah, the fourth parak is telling us that a Suffolk can marry a Suffolk. So I don't understand. You're telling me that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, that a Suffolk can marry a Suffolk. I know the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. I know the three groupings of that first Mishnah in Kiddushin. Of course the Suffolk can marry a Suffolk. The Atamar Talachik Rabbi Elazar. Okay. So Shmuel obviously was not happy in hearing that the halacha in fact follows like Rabbi Elazar. So here we are with a really straightforward question in terms of Yichus. Can a Suffolk marry a Suffolk? Can a Suffolk marry a Mamzer? Okay. These are really basic questions in terms of who can marry whom. On this discussion now, we have just seen together a very basic machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and those who paskin like Rabbi Elazar, notably Rabbi Yehuda Merav, versus Shmuel. Shmuel does not paskin like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda Merav does. So now the Gemara says, now let's go back to Abaye and Rava. Now remember, we had a brisa regarding the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Regarding as our Suffolk Mamzer and who the Suffolk Mamzer can marry. And Abaye and Rava give two interpretations. And the Gemara now goes on to explain. Abaye says, like Shmuel, so Abaye passes like Shmuel. And I know it's a lot of people to keep in mind and to get straight. Okay. So I strongly encourage, go through the daf again. Okay. Abaye passes like Shmuel. Again, what does Shmuel say? A Suffolk's allowed to marry a Suffolk. Suffolk's allowed to marry a Vade Mamzer. Okay. So Abaye passes like Shmuel. The Amar Alacha Kehila. So Umukila Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Alibe de Hilchasa. Kehechid Lotikshe Hilchasa Hilchasa. And so therefore, when presented with the original Brisa, right in the middle of our Amud, of Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so what he's going to do is he's going to interpret Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to be saying, like the Shita of Shmuel, like the Shita of Hillel, like that first mission of the fourth parak of Kedushin. And so now the halacha is all aligned because we assume that when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says something, that's the halacha. Why do we say that? Because we say, right, divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov kavanaki. So we assume now that that's the halacha. So that's why when Rava is given the opportunity, I didn't mean Rava, when Abaye is given the opportunity to now say a pshat in the braisa, so he wants to align Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov with the halacha. And now Rava savala karav. So Rav, on the other hand, holds like Rav, who says the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, that a Suffolk may not marry a Suffolk. Umukila the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov alibe de hilchasa ki hechad lo tikshe hilchasa hilchasa. And therefore, when he's given the opportunity to interpret Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he will interpret it so that it aligns with Rabbi Elazar and Rav. Okay, so so it's just a question of where they see the halacha, and because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov can be interpreted in one of two ways, so each one is going to interpret Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov based on what they think the halacha actually is. Okay, that's a lot. That's really a lot. Well, we're going to get to the two dots. So what comes out now is a Suffolk is allowed to marry a Mamzer, a Suffolk Mamzer is allowed to marry a Mamzer. The answer is it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas Tanaim. It's a machlokas Amoraim. It is a major machlokas amongst the Gedolei Yisrael in terms of whether or not it is going to be acceptable or unacceptable.
The likelihood of the progeny being a Mamzer is higher when you have a Vadai with a Suffolk. It's 3/4 chance that you're going to...
No, but we're not talking about the children. We're talking about... I understand, but that's not the Gemara's discussion. The Gemara's discussion is whether or not they're allowed to marry, period. That's the Gemara's discussion. And now the question is that the suffolk may or may not be a mamzer. So if he's not a mamzer, then he can't marry a mamzer. Okay. And then a question of what is the status of a suffolk mamzer? Is the status of a suffolk mamzer a suffolk, or is the status of a suffolk mamzer a mamzer? Okay. I'm saying it simply, but that's really what is under discussion here in the Gemara. Amar Abai Menami Nala Dechol Sveikala Rebbe Lazar Ben Yaakov Kivadeh Mashalei. So Abai says, how do I know that I'm right? That every time you have a suffolk, that suffolk really is a vadai. The Tanya, we learned in the following brayso, Rebbe Lazar Ben Yaakov Omer HaReisha Baal Nashim Harbei. So Rebbe Lazar Ben Yaakov is describing somebody who has multiple relations with multiple women. And he simply doesn't even know who he's having relations with. And she also, unfortunately, is with many men, not knowing who is fathering the child. And now, because we do not know who is the father, who is the mother, so now what's going to end up happening is that relatives are going to be marrying one another. And now relatives marrying one another, that's called arayos. The product of that union is going to be a mamzer. So, v'nismalikolam kulam mamzerim. And the entire world is going to be filled with mamzerim. Now, you'll notice over here, this is the diuk. It doesn't say safek mamzerim. It says mamzerim. Ah. So this is another proof that for Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, when you are a suffolk mamzer, so status-wise, that makes you a mamzer. Now, that seems to be a really good approach and a good proof for Abaye, that for Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, a suffolk mamzer is a mamzer. And Rava Amalacha Hachi Kamar, Zu Mahi. So, and what Rava will say is, look, I also know the Braisa. I'm looking at the same Braisa. But the interpretation of the Braisa could just simply be, we don't know. Meaning, not that the term that's used over here to describe, oh, that child's a mamzer. No, that's not what Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is saying. Is that he's just simply saying, I don't know what the child is. Could be a mamzer. That could be a way to interpret the Braisa. And so once again, a stalemate, not a stalemate, but a machlokes between Abai and Rava in terms of what exactly is the shita of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov as it relates to a suffolk mamzer. As long as we're quoting the Braisa, the Gemara here is going to be quoting the second half of the Braisa. Yes, okay, now I'm a Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Lo yisa adam isha b'medina zuva yelech v'yisa isha b'medina acheres. Okay, so can you have more than one wife? Yes. Again, bizmanenu, no. Right? For years and years and years, the practice is monogamy. But the Torah allows for polygamy. And so can you have more than one wife? Yes. Yaakov Avinu had four. Good. So the Shlomo HaMelech had more than four. Okay. Right. But what the Gemara now is saying is that this is improper, and that is to have your wives living in different countries. That's not proper. Now, Shema Yizdav Guzel Azevinimsa Achnos Achoso. Because now what's going to happen is that you're going to father the children in different locations, and now the children do not know that they're related to one another. Okay, and the Shidduch is red, and the And look, we have so many things in common. Yeah, you know why you have so many things in common? Okay. Thank you. Okay, so E, thank you. Okay, I didn't think it would go over that well, but okay. So Eni, so the Gemara says that it's okay. So now we're going to go off on a small tangent over here because the real reason why we quoted this Braisa is just simply to litigate, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, what is the suffolk mamzer. But now we quoted the second half of the Braisa, and that is that your multiple wives should not be living in two different locations because your children are not going to know that they're siblings to one another. Okay. While we're here, so the Gemara is just going to spend a little time over here with this tangent, and that's what we're going to finish today. We're going to finish with this very short tangent. We're going to get to the two dots right in the middle of the Amud. So, Eni, the Gemara says, Vaharav, ki ikla le dar dashir, machriz vamar man havya liyuma, v'rav Nachman. So the Gemara now is going to be describing the behavior of both Rav and Rav Nachman, and I know it's going to be shocking, but it's really not shocking because, quite frankly, we saw this earlier in Shas. We saw this back in Yuma. So, but either way, it's going to sound like somewhat strange behavior. So Rav and Rav Nachman travel, and while traveling, so they're going to be leaving their wives, but they don't want to be without a wife. Okay, these Amoraim maintain the level of Kedusha and Tahara. they wanted to make sure that they would never have any acts of Sheikh Vazir Levatala. They don't want to hear Hurim. In other words, they want to be protected by their wives. And for whatever reason, their wives would not travel with them. Again, I don't know all the details, but so what they wanted to do is, so they wanted to be married even while traveling. So what they would do is that they would offer, as going to a different town, who would like to marry me while I'm here? Okay. Right. Now, right. So Phil's understanding, right? Man havala yuma. Okay, it's going to be a temporary marriage over here, a day. Okay. Now, okay. So I understand that to us, it sounds like strange behavior, but really what it's all a predicate of is they're maintaining their kedusha and tahara. So the v'amra man havala yuma. So the Gemara now is bothered because we just learned together that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, right, you can't do that. You can't have multiple wives in multiple locations. So Shani Rabban and the Pekiyah Shemayu. So the Gemara says, okay, generally speaking, you're right. But that's for you and me, meaning, right, who knows me in other locations? Nobody. In other words, I don't have a name. I don't have a reputation. All right. So for us to engage in that kind of behavior, you can't do that because we have no notoriety, bad or good. And so therefore, the children don't know their siblings. But when the Chachamim, their name has notoriety. And so when they have a child in another location, everybody knows, oh. The Hama Rava Tavul and Nasav Nispais and Srichal Shivanakim. So the Gemara over here now, in this tangent, is going to be bothered by another tangent, and that is that was something called Dam Chimud. The Gemara in Yida discusses this in more detail. Suffice to say right now that she's excited now to be a Kala. That excitement to being a Kala may prompt her to start menstruating. And so therefore, what you have to do is you have to wait. Shivanakim. You have to wait a week. So the Rabbanu Shulchaya Hava Meshadre, Umo Delahu. So number one, the Gemara says, is that okay? And in anticipation of the arrival of Rav Nachman, whoever engages in this practice, so what they would do is they would send a shliach up ahead 7 days in advance in order so that the Dam Chimud concern is going to be mitigated. Alternatively, could very well be that there's Dam Chimud and that they weren't and they weren't intimate with one another. Ah, so then what's the point of having a wife if you're not going to be intimate with her? You have a wife, right? Ain odome. One cannot compare somebody who has bread in the basket to someone who does not have bread in the basket, right? This idea expressed itself numerous times throughout Chas, right? The Gemara in Yuma, going back to the Gemara in Yuma, right? When describing the man. So, right, the Jewish people complained about the man and they complained about it pretty often, right? A couple times in the Torah. So we hear about them complaining about the man. What's there to complain about? It's delicious. Right, donuts every morning. What's there to complain about? So, the Gemara's comment over there is, yeah, because they didn't have fridges, and what's coming tomorrow? We don't know what's coming tomorrow. Eino doma misha yishlo pasla salo misha eino paspa salo. There's no bread in the basket. They didn't have a fridge. And so over here, right, that's by the mun. So over here, so you're married, but you can't be with your wife. Yeah, but you're married. In other words, and that in of itself is going to be able to temper the Yetzer Hara, and that's sufficient. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, sorry. Shem Pas Basal Tana. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Lo Yisa Adam Ishto V'Da'at L'Garsha Mishum Shenemar Atach Rosh Areecha Ra'a V'Hu Yoshev LaVetach Itach. One last comment by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that is, one is not allowed to marry a woman with the consideration of divorcing her, meaning that you got to be all in. Now again, if the marriage is not successful and it terminates, that's fine. In other words, that's life. But at least when going into a marriage, you cannot go into a marriage with the consideration of, I know this marriage is not going to work and I really do plan on divorcing her. You should not engage in that behavior. He quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei that speaks to this idea that one cannot go into a marriage with that kind of mindset. Okay. Why is this here now? Because we just strung together three statements by Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov regarding acting in just a totally irresponsible manner. That was number one. Number two, partially irresponsible, marrying a wife here and a wife in another location, which then led the Gemara off on a little bit of a tangent. How did the Chachamim behave in the manner in which they did? Gemara had answers. And then finally, a man should not marry a woman knowing that he's going to divorce her. Okay, so.
In this case, the woman knew.
Yeah, right, correct. In other words, it's just simply, it's a third point of regarding types of marriages that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov simply does not endorse. Okay. Adkan, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow, Yerusha. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about how to split the money. Okay, so today, so let's just quickly recap. Let's review our day today. Beginning of today, a lot of consideration regarding gzeiras derabbanan, when the Chachamim made a gzeira. In other words, you acted recklessly and you married a woman you shouldn't have married. And we had two cases that we were up for consideration, right? The man who married his yavama prematurely, and it turns out that she miscarried, and so the marriage can sustain. But meanwhile, in the interim, he has to divorce her. We also spoke about the question of suffolk nafel, meaning the baby did not last for 30 days. And whether or not that's considered a viable child, or it's a question of suffolk. Okay, so there were a lot of cases that we discussed in the beginning, but really, one of the overarching questions is that when the Chachamim legislate and make a knas that you have to divorce her, so is there any kind of negotiating room? Let's say you accept a kedushin from another man. Let's say that other man was a kohen, and your divorce now is going to require you to divorce and never to remarry. So is there any kind of room for negotiation? So the Gemara says sometimes yes, sometimes no. And it depends on whether or not there are other shitas that could we rely upon. That takes us to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. On Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the simple question. A man married his Yavama only after 2 months after she loses her husband. And they have a child 7 months later. It's a suffix. That child, now we don't know who the father of that child is. Question number one of the Gemara. Why don't we just simply say, most women have a 9-month gestation period. And so the Gemara says, yeah, we do say that. But over here, counter consideration. She wasn't showing in the third month. Okay. Number two. Our second big discussion this morning was, what is the status of that child? That child, perfect yichus, right? This child could become a Kohen Gadol. Okay. If they decide to have another child, that's a suffolk mamzer. Oh. Which brings us to the next point of the Gemara. A suffolk mamzer, who can he marry? A major debate amongst the Tanaim, amongst the Amoraim. In today's daf, Yevamos Lamed Zayin, in terms of what is the status of a suffolk mamzer? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is of the position, subject to a debate. Right? Rav and Abaye argue within Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov what his position was. Abaye was of the firm position that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that a suffolk mamzer is a mamzer. A suffolk mamzer is allowed to marry a mamzer. Okay, suffolk mamzer is allowed to marry another suffolk mamzer. Okay, so that is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as per Abaye. Rava disagrees. Rava says no. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is of the position that a suffolk mamzer is a suffolk, and therefore a suffolk mamzer cannot marry a mamzer. Why is it so critical and crucial to know what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Kavanaki. We pass him like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But over here it's complicated by the fact that the Amoraim argue what exactly Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said. And then finally, at the end of the daf, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, so we went through three types of behaviors that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says one should not engage in. The first one, I would say rather obvious, which is don't act sexually irresponsible. Having children, not knowing who the father is. So because in doing so, aside from the fact that that in of itself already is morally bankrupt behavior, but aside from that, the children do not know that they're siblings to one another. They're marrying one another. And now you're creating mamzerim. Number two is that a man cannot marry more than one wife and have them situated in two different locations. Because the children are not knowing that they're siblings, going to end up marrying one another. And finally, number three, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, is that one is not allowed to marry a woman knowing that he's going to divorce her.